please and thank you. Two phrases that we teach our children with the hope that they will learn good manners, right? Now, please and thank you can certainly be misused or distorted. How many of us who are parents have had our little ones grab our legs and go, please, please? And how often do we find a thank you being more mechanical or perfunctory? Thank you. Like, do you really mean that? No, but I'm just saying it because I'm supposed to. But when you take please and you take thank you, and you actually reflect on what they mean, they're pretty powerful phrases packed into a few words. Please implies a humble request from somebody. You're coming and making yourself come under, please. And thank you expresses gratitude and appreciation. Today, I want us to focus on the latter. Thank you. Our whole service so far has been geared towards thank you, expressing gratitude to God. You've heard three testimonies of people who look back over the last year and can declare God is faithful. God carried us through. There are some times we're wondering. I remember when I visited Bruce in the hospital after he'd gotten run over by the tractor. We didn't know. Didn't know what I was going to see when I walked into that hospital room. The intercessions that we lifted up for Beverly. Instead of getting stronger, she was getting weaker. And times that I smelled burnt toast, realized it was just Sid. She was barely surviving. But each one stood here and said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your sustaining grace, and thank you, Body of Christ, for standing with me. God's desire is to develop within us an attitude of gratitude. And when you go all the way back into the Old Testament, and you know that section of the scripture that you start reading, and you go, oh boy, you know, as in Leviticus, and one sacrifice after another, if you have to cut one more entrail, I'm going to lose it. And the fat of the sacrifice. But you know, in Leviticus 7, there was an offering known as the fellowship offering, and part of that was associated with thanksgiving. God made a way. You've got sin offering, you got guilt offering, you got burnt offering, but God made a way in the sacrificial system if you just wanted to say thank you. He made a way for you to approach God with an offering and say thanks. Thanks. So today in the Gospel of Luke, if you have your Bibles, I want to look at three passages in Luke, looking at three aspects of giving thanks. The first one is in Luke 17. Luke 17, beginning of verse 11. It may be a familiar passage to you. It's one of Jesus' miracle stories. He did those a lot, by the way. But in Leviticus 17, or Leviticus, there I am in Leviticus, Luke 17, there's an account where Jesus heals some folks with leprosy. Now that's not unusual. Jesus has done that before. Earlier in his ministry, this leper came up to Jesus and said, you know, if you want to, you know, he was afraid Jesus was going to say, unclean, get out of here, if you're willing. And Jesus, oh, touches the guy when he's a leper. That was a no-no. Touch the guy. Said, oh, I'm willing. Heal them. But here we don't have just one leper, we have 10 lepers. Verse 11, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, the word for leprosy in the Bible can cover a whole plethora of skin diseases, not just the pure leprosy known as Hansen's disease. But regardless of what it was, leprosy ostracized you from society. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, that was pretty much a death sentence for you. You were excommunicated from your family. You were excommunicated from your job, from your community. You were put away. And not only that, anytime someone got near you, you had to shout, unclean, unclean. Every time someone saw you, it was a reminder when you yelled out that you are flawed, you are broken, you are diseased. And so these lepers, because they couldn't be with anyone else, hung with each other in what was probably some kind of leper colony, dependent upon whatever scraps somebody would come out and give them. They must have heard about Jesus because it says they 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, obviously, because they knew they weren't allowed to be near him. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. How they heard about him, we don't know, but that they did hear about him is pretty clear. And they believed that he had the ability to touch them if he would have mercy on them. And when he said that, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. In that culture, among the Jewish people, the priests were the ones that could give you the all clear sign. If you were to go to them and the priest saw you, they would make sure everything was good. There was no spreading. It was gone. And they would declare, you are able to be reunited. You're able to be reconnected. You're able to be restored to society. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't get cleansed first, then go. They had to take a step of faith and go. And had it stopped there, this account, it would have been just one more miracle that Jesus did. But it doesn't stop there. He says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Let me skip verse 16 for a minute and go to verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where were the other 9? My guess is they were so excited with the gift that they forgot about the giver. They were so thrilled that God had mercy through Jesus and healed them, they just wanted to get restored. They're like, yes, we're healed. And the thought of giving God thanks didn't enter their mind. And you know, there are times, we live here in America, and we are such a blessed people. This morning when I got up and I turned on my faucet, water came out. Water that was drinkable. When I traveled to Ghana, Africa, in 2004 on a missions trip, we weren't allowed to drink the water. I made the mistake of eating lettuce and developed hepatitis A. My body, thank God, dealt with it, but still. All the water there is polluted. We take that for granted. This past week, I had the opportunity to substitute teach in school. And in one of my classes, I showed a DVD about this gentleman that did the five-hour power drink, whatever that is, five-hour energy drink. The guy's a gazillionaire. There's no such word, but he's very, very rich. And he believes that he is to give back to people in need. And he's trying to make a difference in our world in the area of energy and in the area of water. And then there's one other off the top of my head I can't remember. But the water was interesting because he said, if people could have water. And they were showing how they're desalinating the ocean to provide fresh water for people. We take that for granted. When I got back from Ghana, the first thing I did at Kennedy Airport was walk over to a drinking fountain. Take a sip of water. Now, I'm not going to insult anybody here, but my guess is that over the last 24 hours, you probably ate. You didn't have to worry about food. You didn't have to wonder. Even the poorest in America are richer than most of the world, half the world. The blessings that we have. This morning you got up. You're here. Some of you had to hobble here, but you're here. Well, you know, your sister. But you're here. Which means you got up this morning and you were breathing. Your arms moved, your legs moved. You're here. And I find that sometimes what happens is like those 9, I start to take things for granted. My guess is that the DeLate family doesn't take things for granted after what they just went through. every day of life where their son doesn't have a headache or doing all right. My guess is the Downey family doesn't take a day for granted that they have their daughter with her. I hope it doesn't take a tragedy for us to realize how much we have. I hope we're like the one, not the nine, that actually wakes up and says, God, thank you for another day. May Thanksgiving be my bookends of my day. Thank you, Lord, for a day to breathe, a day to think, a day to speak, a day to live. And when we close off the day, Lord, thank you for the day you gave me. No guarantees for tomorrow, but thank you for today. Thank you. But nine were more concerned about the gift than they were the giver. Except for this one guy. Verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. It was a sign of worship. It was a sign of humility. It was an understanding that you have done something for me. And he thanked him. And, the scripture adds, he was a Samaritan. Now, 2,000 years down the road, the Samaritans don't produce within us the same reaction that it did in the first century. So if I were to retell the story, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a socialistic atheist who believed that gender didn't matter and sex could be with whatever, whoever you wanted. Who wanted to take away your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights. He threw himself down and thanked Jesus. That's the kind of reaction that being a Samaritan would have had in the first century. What do you mean? Samaritans were hated people. When northern tribes went into exile under the Assyrian king, there was just a few poor people left, and they intermingled with the others that the king of Assyria brought in, and so they were considered half-breeds by the Jews. They had their own set of worship, their own temple. And they actually rejoiced when Jerusalem was destroyed under the Babylonians. They were like, yeah, baby! And when Israel came back into the land and tried to rebuild the temple and tried to rebuild the walls, they were the ones who stood in opposition. There was certainly no love between these two groups. And yet this Samaritan, which is amazing in itself that he's hanging around with the other nine Jewish lepers. That's the thing about disease. They had a common enemy. They all were ostracized, and all they had was each other. And perhaps being with them, something happened that they were he. Or maybe it was that woman at the well in John 4. We don't know, but somehow he knew, because it says they cried out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And this one got it. And he was desperate enough. He goes, thank you. And part of it was, is because he was Samaritan, he of all people knew he didn't deserve anything. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't part of God's people. He was the enemy. He was ostracized, not just from people because of leprosy, but he was a Samaritan. He knew that anything Jesus did for him was pure grace. And so he came back and he said, thank you. Thank you. And Jesus said, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus is stunned. The nine Jews should have figured this out. It took somebody outside. And that's one of Luke's points in his gospel, is Luke focuses on how Jesus always reached outside. That the outsiders could become insiders. When Jesus preached in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, he talked about some examples from God showing mercy through the prophets to those outside of Israel. And they got so mad, they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. Because they only wanted Jesus helping them. They only wanted them helping our people. And the gospel was intended to be for the entire world. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And it doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter what ethnicity. It doesn't matter what language. It doesn't matter what skin color. It doesn't matter what economic bracket, what sociological. It doesn't matter what educational level. It doesn't matter what age. The gospel was intended for all people. And this Samaritan gets it. And he's willing to come back and say, I get it. Thank you. Thank you. And then Jesus says to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And although that is a very good translation, made you well, the word that's translated well is often translated in light of healing, but the word actually in its most basic means saved. Salvation, sozo is the word. Your faith has saved you. Now I don't know if all he got was a healing or did he get more. He came back, he recognized, he bowed, he thanked, and with a heart of gratitude for God's grace through him, something rose within him in faith, and Jesus goes, your faith has made you well. It saved you. Maybe he got just a little bit more than the other nine. Maybe the other nine just got their skin cleaned. This guy got a soul cleansing. Expressed with gratitude. So what do I get from this point? I find here in this passage that we can give thanks with our words, because that's what he did. Thanked God. Now, without being pushy, and I don't need an answer, other than the service we just had, when's the last time you had a chance to say thank you, God? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, that's not the only place. Flip back with me in Luke to chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is the account following the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and letting her know that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. Mary hightails it over to her relative Elizabeth's house. And as she enters the house, the baby inside of Elizabeth, that is John the Baptist, leaps in her womb and is filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, when does life begin? Isn't it interesting? A fetus was the first one to recognize the Messiah. Just saying. Leaped. But that's not where I want to get this. Where I get is that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and then begins to say, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. And Mary responds, beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. Pardon me, I'm a King James on this one. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. This is where we get the Magnificat from. This is Mary's song of praise. It's modeled in many ways after Hannah, the mother of Samuel's prayer of praise in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. But here she is giving praise to God and she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Not bad for a teenager. It's a really anointed song for a teenager. That's how old she was. You know, she wasn't 40, 50. She was young. But when I see this, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What I find here is that thanksgiving goes beyond simply words. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. See, we could say, thank you. But when we raise the level a little bit, it goes into a song. It goes beyond just the words, thank you. Our heart and our emotions are brought into it. That's why the songs we chose today, the choruses and the hymns, are all about giving thanks to God. Because thanksgiving is more than just thank you. Thanksgiving encompasses more than just my mind. It encompasses my heart, my body. Praise you, God. I'll bow down, I'll raise up, I'll dance. I think for some of you, if you dance, the rapture would hit. But in the scripture, they danced before the Lord. They leapt before, David jumped up and down, leaping and dancing before the Lord with all of his might. Some of you, we'd have to have a healing service if we ever did that. There may be some things not working right. Oh, dear God, pray for my hip, Pastor. Pray for my... But there was an exuberance. There was a worship. Worship wasn't just this passive, static, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I wonder what I'm doing after service today. I will enter. They better have good pizza for this lunch today. What if it's still going to be snowing? I'm supposed to clear up. He has made me glad. I hope they don't go along with that business meme. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like blah, 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 blah. But when we truly worship with our not just our words, but when we give thanks, not just with our words, but with our worship, it's intended to bring in our heart, our emotions in praise to God. All right? One other passage, Luke 19. Luke 19, 1 through 7. Again, another familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to look at this through the lens of thanksgiving. This is Zacchaeus the tax collector. Wee little Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. That's because he was skimming off the top. He was ripping people off. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Oh, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up. Now here they are at this meal. Zacchaeus stands up and says to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, oh, today salvation has come. Salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And here, for me, I move to the third and highest level of thanks. The first level is my words, thank you. My next level is worship, where my heart and emotions are involved. But this last one is, we give thanks with our walk. Zacchaeus didn't just say, thanks for coming to the house. Appreciate it. God bless. Hey, let's all sing Kumbaya. Huh? Or why don't we just sing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Well, I think about the business meeting. You know what I'm saying? Just let's just get it done. No, he says, my gratitude is going to show up in a transformed life. My gratitude is going to show up in the way I do life from this point on. I've been a liar and a cheat. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to have integrity and be honest because I want to say thank you. You have extended grace to me that I did not deserve. Again, just like Samaritans, tax collectors were not the favorite people in the first century because they were Jews who were working for Rome. Not only were they collecting taxes for Rome, they were skimming it for themselves. They did not have the highest. And that's why I think it's wild that Jesus chose Matthew and the zealot, Simon the zealot. I mean, you put a zealot who wants to overthrow Rome and you put a tax collector for Rome, you put them together. Talk about group dynamics. Yeah, no wonder Jesus is oy veying all along, you know. Oh, dear God, I hope you can do something with them. I'm trying. But this tax collector, his life gets changed. And that really, isn't it the ultimate expression of thanksgiving and gratitude to God? Is that our lives begin to come in line with his. That my way of saying thanks isn't just this mechanical thank you. It isn't even just coming on a Sunday morning and worshiping. It's the way I live my life. Going back to Colossians, I read to you that scripture about song and praise, but the very next verse in verse 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. That in my living, I'm giving thanks. So that when I live a holy life through the power of His Spirit, depending upon grace by faith, when I care for those who are in need and hurting, as I'm doing it for Jesus, when we do this jail ministry that's going to be coming up in starting in March, and training's coming up next month, and we go into the prisons, we're going to be extending the hand of God. When we do the counseling center, when we do the ministries of this church, we are living out in service to our community gratitude. And when I choose to walk in righteousness and holiness instead of sin, I am expressing gratitude. Paul put it this way in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the ultimate is if you take a look at this, we could see it as a progression. We give thanks with our words. We give thanks with our worship. But we give thanks with our walk, the way we live our life. And that's how we say thank you. Thank you to God.